ECNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And welcome once again to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
And we are Analog Living in a Digital World. This program brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. And this week we are tape delayed because, among other things, we are participating in the Northern California Boat Sport and RV Show down at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Hope that you'll stop by the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary booth and say hello, because that's where our smiling faces will be.
Right there in the front foyer of Fusaro Hall is where we park it.
And among the many other things, that's what I was going to, you know, when we were doing the rundown for the show, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about was the merging of robotic and audio technologies that our little mascot has.
It's pretty amazing. Some of it's low-tech, some of it's high-tech, some of it's been around forever, and some of it's fairly current technology.
Well, there's a little gadget called Coastie the Safety Boat. Now, Coastie, of course, is not exactly tiny. He weighs maybe about 100 pounds, but he is a little robotically remote-controlled boat.
Runs around
on dry line. He's got blinking eyes, and he has lights that turn on, and he has a voice and all that. And the different technologies, I got a chance to actually open Coastie up and take a look at his innards, and he uses motors out of a wheelchair, a remote control kind of like a very high-end RC airplane or car might have. He has a wireless transmitter system so that the person who's operating him can stand a distance back.
And receiver.
And also, yes, a feedback thing, sort of as children talk to Coastie, the person running the Coastie can hear what's going on. So it's really a neat way to interact with kids, because an adult can stand there, towering over the kid, and the kid's going to be intimidated and not hear the message. Coastie's like a cartoon brought to life.
Absolutely. I think for me the most interesting part of that device is how the voice is modified, because Coastie's five. He's perpetually 5 years old, and it's perpetually his birthday, which is what kind of makes it fun. But the voice that you put through the microphone comes out modified on the other end to sound like a little kid's voice.
Yes.
And it does...
That's actually guitar effects pedal. If you look inside, it's wired into the audio circuit before it gets to the speakers, and it's an off-the-shelf guitar effects pedal.
That's where, you know, I say some of this stuff's been around a while, low-tech, lower-tech than what we're used to.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing to me about that is that it definitely treats different voices differently, so it doesn't just take what you say and modify it so everybody sounds the same. There's definite differences in the voices that are put through the system. I think that's pretty interesting.
So the Boat Sport and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, and you could be hearing this show on Saturday or Sunday. So stop on by, say hello. We're going to be there, and by the time, if you come by late on Sunday, we're not likely to be exactly perky by then.
Well, the show is open till 7 o'clock on Saturday evening and only open till 5 Sunday afternoon.
So if you're hearing this show on Sunday, get on down there. It's a great show. You get to see some local vendors doing some very cool things. They've got some excellent displays this year with all the animal displays, the stuffed animals or taxidermy work or whatever they call them. I think they have a life-size grizzly bear standing there and all kinds of cool stuff.
Good stuff for the kids.
Yeah, that's over there in Fusaro Hall. Times are tough. Gas is expensive, but people still want to have fun. And what a great place to go down to and see what the opportunities are. We can't take, you know, most of us now on our budget have trouble taking vacations cross-country. Why would you want to? You've got some of the best vacation places in the world right here in Northern California.
That's one of the awesome things about living here. Absolutely. Can't beat it. Outdoors here, just beautiful.
Well, as I said at the top, this program brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. And they've got some special deals going on you're going to hear about during this hour. But also coming up, we have, among lots of other stories we are working on for you, we're going to be talking about Stars has made yet, or Netflix made yet another misstep. A little tiny computer you could hold in the palm of your hand. And Yelp has made their initial public offering. All that and so much more coming up on Boomer Tech Radio.
Hi, it's Bob Belongi, owner of Belongi Entertainment Enterprises and co-host of Boomer Tech Radio. Remember those old-style camcorders? Yeah, they were big and bulky, but they were so great for capturing memories of vacations, birthdays, weddings, school sports, and other memories. Now, there's just one problem. It's getting harder and harder to find something to play those tapes on, and forget about making a good copy that you can share with family and friends. And not only that, your tapes are dying. The more time that goes by, the harder it will be to save those memories for the future. Belongi Entertainment Enterprises can convert your old VHS videos, audio cassettes, reel-to-reel tapes, and records to DVD and compact discs that are easy to back up, easy to duplicate, and will last for decades when properly stored. Save those memories. Call Belongi Entertainment Enterprises at 223-3515. That's 223-3515.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind. And now his son, Cody, is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
Life, I love you, all is groovy.
Every week, Boomer Tech Radio brings you the latest trends and things that are affecting our analog lives in an increasingly digital world. You know, we're getting more and more of our entertainment online through streaming, Netflix leading the way on that, but Netflix is having some problems now. They really took a hit last year when they changed their pricing structure. They tried changing the name of their DVD versus their streaming service, and that blew up in their faces. Now what's happening to Netflix?
Well, they had a contract with Starz that they set in 2008, a four-year contract, which, of course, is up this year, it being 2012, 4 years past that. And they no longer have Starz content on Netflix. Now, that apparently puts quite a dent in their downloadable movies and TV shows and things like that. Although, really, when you look at it, that Starz content only accounted for about 2% of the viewing time on Netflix. Nevertheless, that library content is not available in there for streaming. The streaming library is shrunk down now. And I think what's happening is that Starz, they couldn't come to an agreement on, and it's probably because Starz wanted a lot of money for their stuff is what I'm guessing. They just couldn't come to a price agreement.
When they inked this deal, of course, broadband streaming was a very small market. Now it's exploding, and now the other big players are starting to smell the money.
That's exactly right, that these content creators or rights holders are trying to get in on the bandwagon, I think, is really what this implies. And I see that even Disney wants to do more on their own and that sort of thing. So it's they have these contracts, so they're going to be able to in fact, Disney was quite a bit of the Starz content, as a matter of fact. So what this means is that it's increasingly difficult, or more difficult right now, for Netflix to be running essentially fresh movies, new, you know, first run type movies and that sort of thing soon after they're available. They don't necessarily have access to that content, so somebody else has it. You know, people are going to go see the more current stuff somewhere else if Netflix can't get a hold of it. But one of the interesting things I saw in this, and Hulu's in on this as well, is that Netflix and Hulu both are starting to create original content, a la what HBO did a number of years ago as a as a cable channel, if you will. They were not a network per se, they were a cable channel, and they did, didn't HBO create Sopranos, I think, came from that?
Yes, yes. Early on, they just reran movies, and it was cool, right. And then people started saying, oh, we would like more, instead of we're seeing the same movie 8 times in a week.
And right, and Hulu in particular was a direct rival to Netflix and is actually gaining some viewership share, apparently. They're not having quite the content problems that Netflix is, but Hulu has started to produce its own original content as well, and it was kind of interesting how they do it. Traditionally in television, you write a script, the show is shot, and in a week, you shoot a pilot, and then if it gets some success, then they go ahead and they do all of these different episodes. Well, one of the things Hulu says they like about this is that they're able to take on shows that they don't have to be a blockbuster in the first 2 episodes. They can take on content that they think is interesting, that they want to produce, and that they think that the viewing public would find interesting, and be able to produce that. And one of the things that they do to keep their production costs down is that instead of shooting a series over a 13-week period, they go ahead and write out the entire season, or 13 weeks worth of episodes or so, at once, and so it has continuity. And then they spend 8 weeks on location shooting their particular episodes, so that's kind of a compressed, more defined or type of thing. So they're not looking for different writers and different episodes and things like that is, I guess, part of it as well, because a lot of series, you'll have different script writers. This way they keep that content, and so they are able to spend a lot less money as well on promotion. So it's very cost-effective for these entities to develop that kind of content. So they believe that viewers want to see some different things, and so they're launching out and branching out on their own.
Well, this is nothing real new. The long-running sci-fi science fiction series Stargate originally started, I think, on Showtime on Friday nights, ran for a couple of years on Showtime, and then it was purchased by the Sci-Fi Channel and became their most successful franchise. They haven't come up with anything, in my view, that even comes close to the overall quality of that show. But what's the one on A&E, the zombie one? Walking Dead. That's very popular original content. So what I'm seeing there is that this gives independent producers, because next weekend, of course, we have our Sundial Film the Sundial Film Festival with independent producers. These shows give independent producers new places to sell their content, because you're not just limited to the giant mega studios. And I think that's a great thing.
I think it's a great thing, too. And as a viewer, sure, I'll give these things a shot. I don't necessarily have to see something spectacular in the first couple shows. And, of course, when you're doing direct streaming, I'm sure they have advertisements of some kind, but mostly you're able to watch this content without ads, and that's refreshing as well.
Or like when we do the live stream here out of the studio of Free Fire Radio, you see a brief ad at the beginning of the show, and you might see a crawl across the bottom, which is fairly easy to ignore. How this stuff is monetized, one thing I'm alarmed about, though, is with all these with all the jockeying for position of the big movies, are you going to have 8, 9, 10 different subscriptions just to be able to good spread of content, as was the case in the early days of satellite radio?
Well,
you had to subscribe to several different services if you wanted a good spread.
Right, and I think that's where people are not going to tolerate that. So in the long run, it's this is pure speculation, of course, but some entity like Netflix, whether it's Netflix or something else new that comes along, will probably prevail there, because we do like one-stop shopping. I mean, why subscribe to several different things to get all these different things? Either that, or you're going to be on that. Maybe the system will go to a pay-per-view. It'll be more on demand.
That's the model that Apple is going for, is that they have relatively low prices, and it's all a la carte. You're not paying a monthly fee. You're going up, and you're getting, it's like dim sum of video.
Yeah. Well, that has some merit when you think about it. There may be some months where you watch a lot. There may be some months you don't watch much at all.
Well, as we have experienced firsthand, though, when you're eating dim sum style, where you're picking the food off the little boat, you look at the end of the evening and you
the end of the bill on pay-per-view could be a little pricey. That's indeed true.
It makes a certain amount of sense. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. And when we come back, a new computer. Don't look for this to be down at your local store. It's kind of breaking some ground. The Raspberry Pi, it fits in the palm of your hand. We'll be back.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
Crown Motors presents the NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds now through Sunday. For every sport enthusiast, this is the one event of the year not to be missed. It's acres of fun and entertainment for any and all sportsmen and women, featuring the latest in sport and recreation accessories, displays, demonstrations, and once-a-year-only show prices. Boats, motorhomes, campers, trailers, guides, resorts, marinas, personal watercraft, wildlife art, fishing tackle, guns, auto accessories, camping and RV accessories, plus kids' trout fishing pond, bass bin fishing demos, Dutch oven and barbecue cook-off, and the Northwest Big Game Taxidermy display this year featuring a life-size bison and bear. Attention hunters, bring in your horns to be officially scored at the display in Passaro Hall. Hundreds of exhibits, exclusive show prizes, houseboat giveaway, splash dog competition, backcountry horseman, gunner, the Clydesdale, and much more. There's something for everyone now through Sunday at the 25th annual NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by KRCR News Channel 7, North Valley Bank, and Coors Light, and this radio station.
Back once again with Boomer Tech Radio. Bob and Brenda Belongi here every Saturday and Sunday on KCNR 1460. Glad to have you join us. If you're brand new to the show, let us know what you think. Send an email to bob@kcnr1460.com or visit our website, boomertechradio.com. You know, when I the microcomputer revolution, if you will, kind of started while I was in the Navy. You could actually buy a kit computer. There was the MSI, there was the Altair. You programmed them by flipping switches and loading the information into memory one step at a time. And then along came this huge advance, being able to use cassette tapes to store your programs and load them into the computer. And that just beat the daylights out of typing in. I at one time owned a Commodore VIC-20, which had some absurdly small amount of memory. And you, if you wanted to run a program in BASIC, you typed that rascal in one line at a time. And if you ever did any programming in BASIC or Pascal or any of that, one typo and the whole thing just sits there and gives you syntax errors.
Fortran, yes.
Fortran, yeah.
Fortran 4. I had that in college in my sophomore year and had punch cards. And being the notoriously bad typer that I was, there was nothing wrong with my programming. It was my typing that messed me up. And like you said, if you missed one character, it would go, you know, does not compute, and yeah, give you an error back, and they'd send you back syntax errors. Like, oh, crud. You know, fortunately, you could fix one card, insert it in your program, and you would be good to go. But even in my time in school, college, by the time I was a senior, they were actually using CRTs.
Mm-hmm. Now, early on in the microcomputer revolution, there were a couple of neat products. There was the Timex Sinclair, which was a computer, not much bigger than about the size of an iPad. It had these itty-bitty little chiclet keys on it. You hooked it up to a TV set. There were a few others, and these were hobbyist computers. These were the earliest, before it became a bad word, hackers learned what was going on inside the computer. Well, things have gotten so sophisticated now that we've kind of lost that ability to get kids really into, they want to, you know, create a new social network and make $1 billion. There's nobody in there really getting into the nuts and bolts and creating the next generation of hardware. Now, this product that you're going to talk about, Brenda, is designed to stimulate minds into thinking in new directions when it comes to computer hardware, right?
Well, at least that's the hope of the manufacturers. To backtrack just a little bit, there's a difference between being a user of the computer and being very efficient or very good at using a particular software package or playing a game which is using a software package. And the people who are actually programming it, those are two different worlds. And you go even beyond that in the engineering world, there's what they call machine language, and that's really getting into the deep, dark guts of the computer and being able to do that. And there's not so much of that going on. And so the hopes of the manufacturers of what's called the Raspberry Pi, and that's not P-I-E, that's P-I like as in 3.14, yeah, so on and so forth. And they have the cutest little logo. It looks like a little raspberry, like the berry. No, not that kind of raspberry. $35 for this thing. It fits in the palm of your hand. And you say, well, what can you do with that? It's pretty amazing what it has on it. It has a USB port. It has an SD card slot. It has quite a bit of memory. I forget how much memory it is. Their cheaper version at $25 is going to have 256K on it, which you say, well, that's not very much. Well, yeah, but this thing is like the size of a deck of cards. I mean, it's not very big.
You can do a lot with a megabyte
of RAM. Absolutely.
In fact, I've said this before, the Space Shuttle, which was probably one of the most complex devices ever built, had its entire flight control system residing in 1 megabyte of memory.
Exactly. It has an Ethernet connection, so you can put it on the Internet. 2 USB ports, SD card port for memory, and is also powered by a standard USB mobile charger. So it's very flexible. This the operating system is a free open source version of Linux, and it doesn't have a monitor or a keyboard. That's one of the things about it. However, what they're hoping to do is get this into the hands of kids and have them start playing around with it. I mean, it's so cheap that it's very affordable.
So we're talking digital Lincoln Logs here.
Well, kind of, sort of. Yeah, exactly. And they want to see what, you know, folks do it. And so what's been happening is that it kind of came about because this company had fewer and fewer students applying for jobs, and most of them hadn't done much more than write a web page, which, of course, isn't really, it's programming, but it's not the level that these folks are talking about. Mm-hmm. And so this little thing was inspired like what we would call now ancient computers, the BBC Micro and the Commodore 64.
Oh, yes.
They hope that this is sort of a way for kids to get interested in actually programming these things and doing new stuff with it and takes them to a whole different level. So they sold out instantaneously when they put some. When you go to their website and you can look up Raspberry Pi, that's Raspberry like the berry and Pi P-I, and they have quite the website, and they'll say, you know, well, we don't have any, but they're interested in whether you're interested in a little less powerful version at $25. So I could see kids getting these things and stringing them together and doing all kinds of crazy things. You know, fun things.
So it's basically, it's a little more powerful than microcontrollers, which we've talked about. Those are very popular in the hobby world. So, you know, you want to get a kid started into the nuts and bolts of computing, this may be a very good way to do it.
Right, and they're hoping it sparks interest in the industry and that kids start, you know, seeing more computer science majors in college and that sort of thing.
You know, we've talked about, you love your iPad. Everybody who has an iPad loves their iPad. The textbooks that are showing up on them, they're becoming quite ubiquitous. Well, now the United States Air Force has weighed in. They have a contract that they're awarding worth $9 million. They're looking to buy 18,000 32-gigabyte iPad 2s. Imagine being at the Apple Store and getting that order, about $520 a piece. The Computer Services Outfit Executive Technology got the contract. It's one of the military's largest tablet purchases to date. Now, I own a Panasonic Toughbook, which is basically a military spec computer. Now they're looking at iPads. Now, one concern I have, of course, is that iPads are just a bit delicate. You've got a 10-inch piece of glass on that thing. I'm kind of wondering how long they're going to last in a field environment.
But you can put shells around them.
Yep.
And that's partly what they're going to do, I think.
The Air Force's idea here is that the iPads will be tested to replace the 40 pounds of manuals and navigation charts carried by Air Force pilots and navigators. I'm not sure what happens when the battery goes dead, but, you know, that could be an interesting day for the said pilot and navigator. Boomer Tech Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Belongi Entertainment offers on-site audio and video recording, production, and rental services for family events, business-to-business connections, or client communications. From a microphone for a webcast to a multi-screen video presentation, we're your new media resource. Get a quote today at Belongi Entertainment Enterprises, 223-3515. That's 223-3515 on the web at belongientertainment.com.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind, and now his son Cody is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. Every week we check out what's happening in technology for those of us who didn't necessarily grow up with high technology, but here we are going as fast as we can. Earlier today we were with a acquaintance of ours who is not exactly a youngster, who has fully embraced smartphone technology. That thing is like on her right hand constantly. It's amazing.
75 years old, which is, you know, not that old, but she is talking about texting, and we brought up QR codes with
she knew another, exactly
she knew
what we were
exactly talking
what about.
They were. She labeled them correctly. Even I can't remember what
and the other
QR stands for.
Quick response.
That's right.
And she knew that right off the top of her head.
She was telling another party with us that about that, and I'm going, "Whoa, girl, you're all over that!" And I was so impressed that she had embraced that. She's a texting fool.
She's
it's
about
great.
As far from a nerd as you could get.
Absolutely.
But she embraces the technology because it helps her do her job better.
Absolutely.
We saw her on the computer. She's just flying through that thing, you know. Unlike my dear beloved mother, who is convinced that the thing has a brain of its own. But,
well,
and I do love her dearly.
I love my mother as well, but at least your mother has a computer, and your mother has an email account.
And your mother doesn't want one of them newfangled things.
That's right. My mother doesn't even have a computer. However, she has advanced to the point of calling me up and saying, do whatever you do and get on that fancy electronic device of yours and look this up for me. It's pretty funny. She does have me do some research for her upon occasion.
Well, you know, we're just days away from the announcement of the iPad 3. Lots of speculation flying, but and Apple really defined the smart pad. The concept had been around forever. Apple actually made it work. Nobody else has really managed to find that perfect combination of form and functionality, and that's causing a lot of confusion right now in the smartphone world. Isn't that correct?
Oh, my goodness. Well, mention Apple again. I really think one of the bonuses of Apple is their cross-platform seamlessness is nice. If you buy an app originally from your iPad, it now can be put on your computer or your phone. And they just make it so simple to have everything everywhere, which is something Google's trying to do, but that's another story for later on.
Well, yeah, if you update your contacts on your phone, it'll be on your home computer.
Exactly.
If you have an Apple.
That's a very nice feature that Apple goes. So everyone's trying to get in on the smartphone bandwagon and do these things. And so now they're getting kind of funky. I think there's a lot of experimentation that seems to be going on out there. And the smartphones are faster. They're physically bigger because what some companies are trying to do is combine tablets in a smartphone. So now you got this big clunky thing that is very bizarre when you hold it up to your ear to make a phone call. And so they look a bit geeky and a bit strange, or maybe they just don't have that functionality that you would like to have. So they're trying to do this all-in-one thing.
So they're too big to be a good phone and too small to be a good tablet.
Exactly. That's one of the problems with these. So, you know, one of them even has a 41 megapixel camera. I remember when if you had an 8 megapixel camera that had nothing to do with your phone because there were no cameras in your phone, that was your camera that you had, that was a big deal.
I think my Sony Clay, an early personal digital assistant, back, it wasn't even a phone, but a little pocket computer, 300K pixels on it. You know, didn't take real high resolution.
Samsung, for instance, has this smartphone that doesn't even fit in a pocket. An average-sized person may even have trouble holding them up to the ear to make a call. And so one comment from a guy in Consumer Reports is that you'd have to be either an NBA star or the Jolly Green Giant to make a call on the thing. And it's pocket-sized It's pocket-sized for a kangaroo.
Yeah, so if you have a great coat or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are kind of awkward. So they're calling them phablets. P-H-A-B-L-E-T, of course, a cross between a phone and a tablet. So I think that's a great word, phablet. It sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds interesting. And so they get kind of hopelessly dorky with these things, and it's not clear how popular they're going to be. And another thing that's interesting is that some of these companies are bringing back the stylus, which Apple decidedly wanted to get away from, and consumers...
It was something to lose.
Right. It's to lose. And actually, I have a friend that has a phone that has a stylus on it, and that's because the screen is so small that, you know, finger doesn't work so well. The stylus does help. That's okay, but what if you lose the stylus? And there's kind of some proof that
Our Palm Treos had a stylus.
Yes, and that was always... I was always concerned about losing that. But one of the things that they're thinking is that consumers are not so impressed with that after they've had touch technology for so long. So
swiping and pinching and spreading apart, it becomes very intuitive.
Well, exactly. And so the thing of it is, phone makers are going to have to be very careful that they don't end up with something that ignores what consumers actually care about. And those two things are basically battery life and usability.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's difficult to use a phone, it probably doesn't matter how many megapixels a camera has because people just aren't going to be able to use it. So you have to have that functionality. And it seems that there's a possibility that there's this kind of experimentation going on and a struggle on the part of these manufacturers to figure out what consumers will actually tolerate or use. You know, the all-in-one thing is very nice, but we're probably not quite there yet. Although there's some aspects about the iPad too, if you have the connectivity version, what is it, about $800, that one?
Yeah, the 3G version.
The 3G version that you can use things like Skype and whatever directly from it. Yep. And so that really does give you some of that multi-functionality.
A lot of speculation. Will the iPad 3 finally make the jump into 4G now that that has kind of settled down? But, of course, the phone carriers are still suffering from a lack. And we talked about this, I think, when this show went on the air.
Right,
we talked about the data bottleneck,
right,
and how it was looming, and nobody's been doing anything about it.
Infrastructure from the point of view of having the bandwidth to be able to
carry
handle
all this data. And
There was news about that in that there used to be tiered plans. You know, you had unlimited data plans. Well, they don't have those anymore.
Nope.
And
they say unlimited, but it's not really unlimited.
No.
They throttle you back to a snail's pace when you hit a certain cap.
But they don't even offer them anymore.
Yeah.
Because you now, if you use X number of, you know, gigabytes, then you gotta pay for it.
Real quick here, Yelp, which is a very popular app on smartphones. They have made their market debut. They did an IPO at $15 a share. There, it promptly went up to about $24 a share, made a bunch of people a lot of money. The company's worth about $1.47 billion just a day after the initial public offering.
I actually prefer Yelp over TripAdvisor, but they're very similar.
Boomer Tech Radio, we'll be right back.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
Hi, it's Bob Belongi, owner of Belongi Entertainment Enterprises and co-host of Boomer Tech Radio. Remember those old-style camcorders? Yeah, they were big and bulky, but they were so great for capturing memories of vacations, birthdays, weddings, school sports, and other memories. Now, there's just one problem. It's getting harder and harder to find something to play those tapes on, and forget about making a good copy that you can share with family and friends. And not only that, your tapes are dying. The more time that goes by, the harder it will be to save those memories for the future. Belongi Entertainment Enterprises can convert your old VHS videos, audio cassettes, reel-to-reel tapes, and records to DVD and compact discs that are easy to back up, easy to duplicate, and will last for decades when properly stored. Save those memories. Call Belongi Entertainment Enterprises at 223-3515. That's 223-3515.
Had to wait for that little sound effect before I started talking.
I think our theme music's cool.
Yes, 8-Bit Junkie, performed by George Wood, and it is PodSafe Music Network, and we got permission actually to use it on the radio station here from the composer, and that's one of the neat things about modern media, is you can, small composers can get their stuff out to the world, and you can communicate with them. How cool is that?
It's not a top 40 tune, which is the other reason I like it. You're not going to hear it everywhere you turn around.
Well, you know, browsers are how you view the world through your computer. And, of course, early on, you had to buy your browser back in the day when Netscape and a lot of other browsers, which have now been long forgotten, were software that you bought by everything else. And then Microsoft changed the game by bundling Internet Explorer along with the Windows operating system, a move which was later determined to be sort of antitrust. And there were big lawsuits and all kinds of things. Lawyers made piles of money on the deal. For a long time, the Internet Explorer, with all its problems, absolutely was the 400-pound gorilla of the browsers, and it just made people crazy. Now, there were a lot of fans of Netscape. There were a lot of fans of some of the lesser-known browsers. And, of course, Apple, the Mac system, had their own version, of course, the Safari browser. But along came an upstart a few years ago known as Firefox, an open-source browser that has been very, very rapidly gaining in market share. And then just 2 years ago, Google introduced their Chrome browser, and that has been growing by leaps and bounds. Now, a few months ago, it looked like maybe Chrome had pushed Firefox out of the number two slot, but it's really close. Right now, they're within about 2 percentage points of each other as far as preference of whether you're going to go online with and use the Chrome browser or the Firefox or Internet Explorer. They all handle web in slightly different ways. You get essentially the same picture, but they go about it in different fashions. Now, I'm a big fan of Chrome. There are, in most instances, it works just fine. It's got a lot lower overhead. I like to be able to tweak the settings, and you get a lot more screen space because Chrome doesn't use a bunch of toolbars that clutter up your screen. I've seen people with 5 or 6 or 7 toolbars cramming the usable screen area down to just a couple of inches at the bottom. It's nuts.
That's kind of counterproductive. I like Chrome because it gives you that desktop, if you will, in Chrome, of either your most frequently viewed pages or your recently viewed pages. And so you don't have to hit favorites. You just click on that particular icon. I like that feature.
Well, Safari does pretty much the same thing on that, where your most frequently used websites are there. When you open a new tab, tabbed browsing, of course, something that was introduced by Firefox. When you open a new tab in Firefox and in Internet Explorer, you just get a blank screen.
It took Windows till Windows 7 to do that.
Yes. And now everybody's adopted that because it's such a great idea. Well, when the current version, Internet Explorer 7, I think, has tabs.
Right. I remember when you had too many windows open, it would crash your operating system.
Yes, yes.
And if you didn't have a powerful enough computer with enough memory, it would really choke you down. So we take these multiple tabs, opening these multiple tabs for granted now, but there was a day not so long ago where that wasn't a very good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, according to the latest stat counters, and when you go to a website, it actually knows which browser you are using because that information is part of your request, so it can tabulate up who's using what browser, and it may suggest, hey, it looks like your browser's outdated, or hey, this site's going to look better if you use Internet Explorer or Chrome or Firefox or whatever. And some sites, especially government sites, won't work at all except with very specific browsers of a certain age or newer.
Yeah, well, leave it up to the government to do it that way. And they're usually behind the times and things. They're not always the most current.
Right now, though, Internet Explorer is still ahead, but they are losing market share very, very fast. It's probably going to be a three-way split over the next year in popularity, and it just basically is what you're used to.
Speaking of Google,
yes,
of course, they enacted their new privacy rules, and I've read through their paperwork, and they say it's supposed to make it easier to understand. I came out just as mystified as I was before, but here's what I understand about this, is that if you have multiple Google accounts, that is, you have to sign into a whatever, like Gmail, an account like Gmail, and let's see, what are some of the other ones that Google has?
Well, you have Google Plus. You have the Picasa, which is your photo sharing program.
There's, I think, is YouTube part of that whole?
Yes, yes, they own YouTube.
Sweet, yeah. So if you're logged into one of your Google accounts and you go over to another of your Google accounts, they now are going to cross-share information in those accounts, and they're
got some people upset.
Exactly. That makes a certain amount of sense to me. However, there's a couple ways around this. That if you're in a Google account and you want to go surf the web for something that you don't want your Google account to know about, get out of your Google account.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that if you go use Google.com to look something up, that it's going to keep track of that. There's also some other ways, and you can do a lot of web surfing on the issue. There's some ways to turn on or off cookies at certain times, and other kinds of things like that that you have control over that minimizes your exposure to this cross account information feed. And they insist that they're not going to do anything with it. They're not going to sell it to anybody, and that there's just nothing's going to happen with that. But it leads to some significant issues about privacy. And the thing of it is that you have no option to opt out.
Yeah.
You cannot opt out. You have to be, if you have a Google-based account, then you're stuck with this. It's, if you go out of it, you cannot, you're essentially disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's, people are going to go over to, say, Yahoo, for instance. Instead of having a Gmail account, maybe they're going to go over to Yahoo, which doesn't do this sort of thing, at least not yet. But who wants the hassle of having to change all that stuff? And then there are businesses and educational entities or whatever that are relying on Google accounts. Now, that's how they do business, and this affects them as well. And that's one of the concerns, is all of this crosstalk within these Google accounts. Some people aren't very happy about
that. If you're concerned, simply go to another web browser. Go to the library, do your surfing.
Whatever. Well, there's that sort of thing as well. But, you know, that's it. one of the simplest solutions is just don't have multiple Google accounts open at the same time.
And by the way, we're running out of time for this segment, but most commonly used password, password or password one or something like that, bad idea, right?
That's right. If your password is capital P, password followed by the number one, change it immediately. This is kind of an interesting thing. It's the most commonly used password, and hackers know it. There's some reasons that it's common. In fact, it's about 5% of the passwords out there involve some variation using password. It satisfies the complexity requirements of most things and is a default even in some software management systems. Welcome is also another common one, and there are programs out there that run through a dictionary of words to try to crack into your passwords because there's common words used. So how do you get around this? Make your password quite long and use unusual words. And that makes it difficult to remember sometimes, but sometimes the more unusual the word is, does make it easier. Password security is a big deal.
And Boomer Tech Radio back for one more right after this.
Belongi Entertainment is your new media resource in Northern California. Our services include audio and video solutions to get your message across to a small indoor meeting or a large outdoor event. Belongi Entertainment has been providing sound systems for all types of clients for more than 30 years. We can also produce your next television commercial, training video, or web presentation at local, affordable rates. Belongi Entertainment Enterprises, 223-3515. That's 223-3515.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind. And now his son, Cody, is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
Buongiorno, how are you? This is Luigi Bianco. It's time for the Festa again.
And I'm Kathleen. Hey, don't miss the 33rd annual Festa Italiana, March 10. We're going to have Dan St. Paul as this year's comedian, and there'll be dancing to Lou White and the band.
That's right, I'll be there. Good food, good company, and that Dago red wine. No, you don't have to be Italian to come to this thing. You don't even have to know where Italy is on the map. Just come and have a good time. You have to be over 21.
For tickets, give me a call. That's Kathleen White, 359-2078.
Welcome back. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio. Bob and Brenda here on delay this week. We are going to be down at the NorCal Boat, Sport, and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Well, a new eye in the sky this week. Is that correct, Brenda?
Well, actually, it won't go up until 2015, but NASA and NOAA, National Aeronautics Space Administration or something like that, and NOAA National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, are talking about new satellites that are going to go up. Now, of course, we had a number of severe storms go through the Midwest, and unfortunately a dozen people were killed as a result of those, partly because they came through at night. And we are now pretty much March 1st is the start of tornado season. So, we'd always like to know ahead of time when these things are starting to gin up so people can get into a safer spot. Well, they're going to be sending up a new GOES satellite. Now, GOES stands for Geostationary Operational Environmental Satellite. We've had a lot of GOES satellites. We have current GOES satellites that we're using, and we send those out about 22,500 miles out there. And as they rotate around the Earth spins underneath them, of course, but they're out there just the right spot to be looking at the Earth the same place all the time. So this is commonly what we use for our weather satellites that we have out there in the business. So in 2015, they're expecting to launch a new one, and this one is going to have some pretty sophisticated instruments on it. It's going to be able to monitor things, conditions that are precursors to tornadoes, like changes in lightning activity within a storm. Also going to be able to map lightning in more real time across the Western Hemisphere. And that's going to be interesting to see how they do that, because whether they can tell whether it's cloud to ground or ground to cloud and things like that, and whether it's cloud to air, there's all kinds of different lightning out there. But they're also looking at a much shorter time interval in between images that are available, which is something like 7.5 minutes to 15. We get an image about every 15 minutes. They can put it in rapid scan and get it even faster. But they're talking on the order of 30 to 60 seconds between data elements at certain times. That's a lot of data. And so it keeps you updated as to how rapidly these things, and they do develop rapidly. Maybe we can see then when one of these gets up there and we start looking at the data that it starts bringing in, we can see the precursors of storms, or start to see storms generating up sooner than we do now.
And save lives.
That's the whole point, is protection of life and property.
Well, on this show, we have talked many times about QR codes, quick response codes, the little itty-bitty checkerboard things that you see on everything from your UPS packages to now showing up and over again in magazines.
Right, on advertisements and that sort of thing.
Billboards, even pop up on a computer screen. And what it is a little... Your phone gets an application that can read that code and look it up on a table and say, okay, that tells me to go to this website. Museums are starting to use them, so if you want to find out, rather than print up a placard in 50 different languages, you can scan the appropriate code and it'll take you to a web page. Now, down at our display that the Coast Guard Auxiliary is putting in down at the Boat Sport and RV Show, you're going to be making use of QR codes. Is
right.
That correct?
Absolutely. It's very simple to go online and just type in QR code generator. There's free ones out there. It's very cool. You simply enter the web page or whatever type of thing that you want on there as to where you want this thing to send people to. In other words, what information is there. You can even have text information and things like that. Have it linked to these things, and it prints one up for you, and it's unique to your particular website, as an example. So that's exactly what I did, was that I went and had a QR code generated that takes you straight to a specific web page. And there were several members that were very puzzled about
this.
Yes,
I was about to say, I bet you had people who were looking at this thing. And like I said, it looks like a very complicated miniaturized checkerboard.
Yes, in
fact. For those who've never seen one.
The question was, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And so then we had to explain what that is. And the answer was, oh. Well, I guess that's... who would use that? How would you use that?
I'll bet you that people... They will see several people actually, because there's a curiosity factor right now with QR codes.
Let's hope that there are at least one or two people that utilize that. That's the point. And actually, younger people are looking for these things. They expect to see these sorts of things out there. So,
which brings me to another story,
for
the show.
How they get used in interesting ways.
I have to word this very, very delicately. Apparently, Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest has distributed more than 50,000 condoms with QR codes emblazoned on the wrappers. Why would they do this? The whole idea is to promote National Condom Week. Their site is still live, but the whole idea is that you scan the QR code to check in on the site. WhereDidYouWearIt.com, I am not making this up, to let the world know where you practiced safe sex. The site allows people not only to geotag their sexy time, but also add details.
Okay. The interesting thing about that is that they've had, as of the time of the article that we ran across, 4,500 postings, but...
check-ins from as far away as Bolivia.
Yes, and 64,000 look-sees.
Go, That's the funny part. Glad to make it a great week. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio, a production of Belongi Entertainment Enterprises. Our theme song, produced and performed by George Wood, used by permission. Now, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you next week. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Ready to go? I'm Pam Puso. President Obama reaching out by phone to the governors of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky after a line of devastating storms shattered families, neighborhoods, and entire communities.
It's been a tough week for the state of Ohio, but we're resilient. We're handling it.
Governor John Kasich declaring a state of emergency. At least 37 people confirmed dead in four states. A desperate search for survivors underway. Parts of Indiana blown away by the monster storm.
The junior highs, there's like an entire wall that's gone. The roof is completely gone. There are cars flipped over. Basically into the building itself.
Fox News Radio affiliate reporter Dave Wheaton in Henryville. The violent weather also taking aim at Georgia. The body of an elderly woman found in a creek. Authorities say she had tried to take shelter in a drainage pipe. As voters caucus in Washington state, the real focus of the Republican race for the White House is centered on Super Tuesday. 10 states hold nominating contests.